For you anoint our head with oil. He said, dead flies, they cause the oil of the apothecary to give forth a foul taste. But Lord, we ask for the pure oil, the one that's been compacted according to your divine instruction. The oil that was poured upon the head of Aaron, that run down the sketch. Lord, even the oil upon the head of Christ that is running down and flowing through the body, bringing healing and life and vitality and restoration. We bring our soul as an offering to you so that you might heal and cherish and nourish and sanctify and present it unto yourself, a glorious church without any spot or wrinkle. We receive the ministry of the blood. We receive your comfort. You say, comfort ye Zion. We receive your comfort today. We bless your name. We ask that you will comfort our hearts. That you will give us direction. Give us understanding of the times, of your purposes, of your vision. And that with this, with the ministry of this oil today, that there will be strength, there will be vitality to walk in the way of the Lord, in the counsel of the Lord. That you raise unto yourself a remnant, a chosen generation that will do your will. We just bless your name, Lord. In the name of Jesus. While Brother Bot was ministering yesterday, I had the Lord picking a word in my heart. After the first night, I actually thought I was done. But he picking a word. I remember 2005. Many of us in this room were in 2005 in Owerri. When Brother Sess came with Sister Mavis after a while, that meeting was particular. Coming up to that meeting, God told me that, well, I was praying. I was looking at the situation in the body. I was praying and I was crying, and God said to me, I'm going to give you another chance. So when I came to that meeting, I was not in the mood to play. And I heard that kind of word yesterday, and I was excited. And I don't know about you. You know, some of us, I'm not too old now, but I've seen quite some years. At least I've crossed the 50 mark. Obina, I don't know how old he is, but we used to be playmates. We grew up in Umuahia together as young people, and don't mind him, he's still looking very young. But I know he has crossed the 50 mark. So we're not exactly children. Amen. There are the older ones. Robin is here. Brother Hubert is here. Some of the older ones. It's been a long journey, and we are not about to throw in the towel at all. Brother Sam is there. We have run and tumbled, and so it's when God gives you another opportunity, you have to take it. And I'm telling you, brethren, we have yesterday, I saw the door just flung open. I was saying, brother, but I didn't believe that we could come to that place. I always had discouragement in my heart. Looking at some of the things, I have to tell you the truth. I have been hearing from God. And I told you about the black book. I had to bring a black book to write down some things. Not everything I write, but there are some things written. I'm not the only one. There are others too in this meeting, in this congregation, who have been hearing, and also some of them have been writing. I know Ebere writes a lot. Isaac doesn't write so much, but I know he also hears. And there are others I may not know. Now, what I'm trying to say, brethren, is that this meeting is very, very serious. And so the burden in my heart is not to preach any new thing, because I think one of the brothers told me yesterday that the cloud will come down yesterday. When he told me that, I knew what he was talking, because I know he had seen something, and the cloud did come down yesterday. The glory came. So there are ministries. God has I'm telling you, there are vessels here. We know. And God has been speaking. But yesterday, God did something. He opened the door. And, we must, in our generation, we must. There's one song we used to sing in the days of Brother Elton. It says, "My generation will serve thee." Say, "Almighty God, my generation will serve thee." Hallelujah. I don't know about your own generation, but my own generation will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. So, can you imagine how beautiful it is when God begins to speak about your generation? Hallelujah. There is something that God is saying and doing. And the scripture says that for the sons of Issachar, that they knew the times. And they knew what Israel ought to do. And that is what I want to talk about. What is God saying? And sometimes we're not all at the same level. I mean, we're not deceiving ourselves. In our midst are fathers. Fathers who have heard the Lord, who have seen the Lord, who have walked with the Lord. There are young men also, and there are also children. And Moses said, everybody's going. He's going to enter in. Not even one hoof will remain. Hallelujah. Everyone is going to go. Our children, they must go. Yesterday, I had to go and apologize to the young children, to young brethren, because we have not helped them. Yes, it's good to tell young children you are doing this, you are doing that, but the truth is that the gospel in the church is not addressing the needs of the young people. And the problem is from here. The problem is from here. But God is healing, He's restoring Zion. Is it not so, young people? Okay, at least you hear from them. So God is doing something, and He will yet do something. Hallelujah. I want you to turn with me to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. We must have understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do in this time. Now, one of the things coming out of this conference is civil war. If you haven't heard it, hear it very well. is the fact that there has been a word about civil war in Nigeria. That word, as far back as 1991, somebody remember that vision? God had told us that there was the possibility of a civil war, another civil war in Nigeria, and actually a very bad one, a split. And we have been praying and dealing with it. Once in a while it comes. And to some of you who may not know, there was a prophecy by Brother Campbell. He's one of the brothers in the U.S. And he's a known and confirmed prophetic voice in the body. And, you know, when God speaks, you must respond. Now, if you don't respond, then your responsibility is yours. You know? And he spoke in the middle of a meeting. My wife was in that meeting. And he stopped in the middle because we got somebody to transcribe that tape, that message. So we wanted to see how did the word come? What was the context? And he was preaching, and in the middle he turned and he said, "I have recently received a word from the Lord that there's going to be a bloody civil war in Nigeria." And then I can't quote very well, but he said other things. And what we did was to disperse that word. We sent it to different brethren, those in Nigeria, outside. Almost all the brethren, you know, everyone had that word, as much as we could remember, so that we could pray. Not that it's a new word we'll be hearing about, the context and the vessel in which it was coming, through which it was coming. We knew it was serious. We had also received the word about 2008, isn't it also? In the past, through Brother says, 2008 has come and gone, isn't it also? I want to hear you. Has come and gone, isn't it also? Okay, somebody say no. Okay, yes. Now, the question, if you have said yes, I would have caught you in my trap, I would have asked you, which calendar are you following? Which calendar are you following? There are different calendars. So 2008 is still, that word is still alive and well and running. Hallelujah. It's not a threat, but you must know what God is saying. So the sum total of that is that tribulation is coming. That's the core of all this thing about civil war 2008. There is something. And that is that tribulation is coming. And tribulation is coming in the church and must come to the church. Because tribulation is what is going to wake up the church. Tribulation is what is going to sharpen and prune the church. Hallelujah. And of course, scripture says we must enter into the kingdom through much tribulation. The church must be prepared for tribulation. Are you prepared for tribulation? Hallelujah. Are you prepared? So that is the context, that there is tribulation coming. Brother Bud, one of the visions he shared, I had heard it before, he shared it here. He said he saw a tsunami coming. He saw a tsunami. You know what a tsunami is? A tsunami is an earthquake in the sea that rumbles. Brother Sam is a geographer, so he knows very well. He has told us the earthquake occurs in the sea. And because of that tremor in the sea, the body of water is moved, and it has to find a level. And the last one in Japan was 30 feet high. Tsunami, 30 feet high coming. I saw an aeroplane, you know, it went through the airport. All the aeroplanes were floating. Have you seen where aeroplanes are floating? They were floating. All the planes in the airport, they were swept out, they were floating. It covered the story building, you know, so of course, not to talk of cars. And the economy, if not that Japan had been a strong economy, it would have completely ruined. That he said he saw a tsunami coming. And he saw the people of God on the beach playing. And it was up there on the cliff looking and pointing at the tsunami. Of course, they looked at him and said, ah, look at that madman shouting when he can't say anything. They were making fun of him. And of course, you know what happened. The tsunami came and it's a reality that there is a tsunami coming. Okay, somebody says this brother is once so frightened. Well, if frightening will wake you up, in fact, it will be very, very good. It's like when we're watching that film, Burning Hell. When you watch Burning Hell, you get born again. Hallelujah. Burning Hell drew some of us into the kingdom. I was one of them. Amen. Hallelujah. So, it's good that we're all hearing it. That God is saying that there is a tsunami, there is tribulation coming to the world. Hallelujah. So, the things that we have been hearing, we have to put it in that context. When we go away from here, and we may forget about the tsunami, forget about everything. Well, you do that to your own peril. You must remember. And you must order your life, you must prepare. So that, you know, in the time of Noah, there was a flood that came, isn't it so? And as the flood came, because someone was prepared for the flood became a deliverance for him. As the flood was coming, he was rising higher. So the problem is not tsunami. The problem is not even civil war. Hallelujah. The problem is that there is a man who has prepared himself. And that's what we're saying. You must prepare yourself. And the Bible says that my people are destroyed for lack of vision. Vision. What vision do you have? What vision do you have? And that's part of what I want to address this morning. Vision. Hallelujah. You can actually take over, sir.
I was in Ethiopia. When did the no? Don't go away. You just stay here. When did the violence start in Egypt? Was it this year?
Yes,
it was this year. It was this year. Yeah. My years just run together. I don't. It's difficult. I can just remember where I was. But I was in Ethiopia, and I was writing a letter to my family. I keep in touch with them. And the Lord spoke to me as I was writing them. As I was writing them to warn them the situation in Egypt was going on. And I said to my family, I said, this tsunami wave of violence that is now beginning to roll across Africa. Now, this was before the tsunami in Japan. I said, the tsunami wave that is starting to roll across Africa is going to spread across Africa. And it is going to go into Europe, and then it is going to go into the United States. I went from Africa to Europe, and I was ministering in a fellowship on the Sunday morning, and I began to share with them this aspect of this tsunami wave of violence. Even as I was speaking there with the congregation, the violence in Great Britain began to break out while I was speaking, began to break out in London, and of course you all are familiar with that. So I just wanted to add that addendum to the thought of the tsunami.
So you were just talking about this wave of tsunami that went from Egypt to the UK, and then And then went on, even into the United States now, you had the Occupy Wall Street movement that came into New York, spread all across the United States. They're still there. In the UK, it cost the Bishop of St. Paul's Cathedral in London resigned. His deputy resigned. Many other people resigned. Many people, it cost a shake. It shook up the church in England. I don't want to get into other, but the point is, God is beginning to shake the nations. And part of the Boko Haram thing you are seeing is a spillover of that. It's Al-Qaeda. It's Al-Qaeda. When Asari Dokubo came up, God told me that is Al-Qaeda. And, you know, and the people think, it was the Niger Delta thing, and it spread through the whole country. And now it's coming from the other direction, and it's also coming, it's spreading. We'll come to that later. But there has to be a preparation. That's really the whole purpose of this. How do we prepare? Your preparation depends on the apostolic vision you have. That is the difference. It depends on the vision, because vision drives your life. There were two young men, Delegiwa and Ray Ebu. They changed journalism in Nigeria, isn't it so? Yes. They came up and they started publishing Newswatch, and it completely changed. They brought a new vision and changed the whole thing. And I saw what vision can do. And the people of God, what directs your life is your vision. You are what you are today because of the vision you presently have. And if you want to change what you are, you must have God's own vision, the right prophetic vision. So let's look at Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, we'll read verses 4 and 5. Okay, it's up here. It says, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. You know, yesterday Brabot began to touch on some of this. And he brought, you know, a lot of insight regarding darkness, regarding God's purpose, and how it relates to you know, to this scripture. And then Brabot came in the night and also you know, began to talk about it. And, you know, and when I was speaking the other day, I was also touching on this, and I want to put it in context. I want you to understand that God is a spirit. God is a spirit. And God told me I'm a Sadducee. He told me, say, you're a Sadducee. And I took a great offense to that. I said, how can God call me a Holy Ghost brother? A Sadducee. He said, you are afraid of spirits. Many of us here are afraid of spirits. But your life is patterned after the spirit. Where is it? I always bring my cell phone. Everything in that cell phone, the whole principle there is spirit. It's a spiritual principle. So we know there's a deception working. So I knew there was a deception working. And for the young people, you know, why are you so hooked up on your phones? Because you're going to send a text message. Somebody is going to give you a text message. You snap yourself, you send it to your friend, and the person snaps and sends it back to you, and you're excited, isn't it so? Of course, it goes to other bad things. You can go to
you know, you put on and you are on the website. Okay, you can go to different kinds of websites. But you see, God said to me when we were in Uganda, I said, look, the things happening in your cell phone, I can do for you. Young people, God can give you a text message. As you wake up in the morning, God sends a text message to you. I love you. You hear it in your heart. Hallelujah. God can give you a video message, a multimedia message, send you picture, you see visions. Everything that you are, that is happening to you on your cell phone, you and God can be doing it together. So if you want to be excited, I'm telling you, the place to be excited is right here. If you are excited with Manchester United, Chelsea, all that, there is a greater movie, there's a greater show taking place in Zion. Hallelujah. So, God is a spirit. And the end time church must settle that. Because if we do not settle it, I'm telling you, brethren, we are out. I'm telling you, God is going to get another generation that will come up to that level. There is no negotiation on that. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must do what? Must worship him. That means those who will be his bride will be spirit also. We'll have to be spiritual people. Hallelujah. Say amen now. I don't want to say many things. I'm trying to make it, you know, things that you can take home. You must be spiritual. Because you are spiritual. Hallelujah. You are spiritual. Now, this scripture says that before the foundation of the world, God had chosen us in him. And that means before there was anything called Old Testament, God had desired a son. I want you to understand. God had desired to have a son even before the Old Testament came. Before anything called Israel, before anything called Moses and all those things, the tabernacle, there was a picture in the mind of God. There was something happening in the mind of God. And I give you another scripture. It says that the lamb was shed or was slain. Of course, when you say lamb, what you're looking for is blood, really. It's not so. So the lamb was slain from the foundation, from the beginning. That's when the blood. So the blood of Jesus is spirit. It's an ancestral spirit. I'm looking at people who know blood. Because when you go to the village, and a young man dies, you know what's happening? They carry egg. They get chicken. Spiritism is the way of life in the village. Spiritism. So, in people whose way of life is spiritism, say they are not spirits. We are denying the power of God. And that is why, unless we change, unless we have the vision that will change us, brethren, we are out. We cannot be of any use to God. Because the things we are talking about, civil war, Al-Qaeda, these are spiritual movements, spiritual manifestations. You know, princes and you know, juggling things. The devil has a reason why he is doing the things he is doing. And the only way you or myself can be of use to God is that I must also be spiritually minded. I must be spiritually prepared. I must be spiritually equipped to be able to deal with it. But you see, if you are walking in the spirit, there are laws that govern the spirit. Hallelujah. Every spirit wants to be worshipped. That's the law. Every spirit must be worshipped. And if you submit to the spirit, it begins to rule over you. Say amen now. Amen. So the Bible says, yield your members to righteousness. When you do that, what do? You become a servant of righteousness. On the other hand, if you yield their members, I'm not talking about Yachi, I'm talking about member means emotion, mind. If you yield it to unrighteousness, what happens? You become a servant of unrighteousness. It works both ways. Those are the laws. He said, you will avenge all disobedience when your own obedience is coming. When you are walking in, you know, when you are submitting. Now, that brings me up to something. Five, I forget. We have not reached any text. Now, the soul of man is of a lower spiritual frequency, of a lower spiritual energy. I'm going to use the word energy. I couldn't use it before because I was looking for spiritual backing. I was looking for scriptural backing because I will not use anything I don't find in scripture. One brother called me and corrected me. He opened his Greek Bible. He started showing me energies, energon. I said, very good. So God had delivered me. Hallelujah. Yes. He's there. The whole Greek is filled with energy. So don't be annoyed with me. We're talking about the energy of God. Hallelujah. Now, let's go back. I'm talking about you. Man is of a lower spiritual energy, spiritual dimension. As a medical doctor, I know there is more to me than what you are seeing. Is this so? When a man dies, we do cadaver, you know, we do dissection, we do autopsy. You know, you cut up. And where is the mind of the man now? Eh? Where is the mind of the man? You're looking at the flesh, cadaver, you cut up liver, heart. Okay, don't be annoyed. But you cut all those things up, and you don't see any mind or emotion or spirit or will. But the Bible tells us in Genesis 7 that he took the clay, isn't it so? He took the dust, isn't it so? And he puffed. There was a breath from God that touched it. Hallelujah. So the earth and the heaven, where they met together, what is it that happened? It formed the soul. And yesterday he was talking about it. There was a new reality. Now, the soul of man is the only thing in the whole universe that combines earth and spirit together. That is why the soul is a priest. He was saying yesterday, God has ordained a priest to do what? To stand in the gap between heaven and earth. Your nature is the nature of a priest. Whether you pray, whether you come to church, or whether you are an unbeliever, you're a priest. Every man has a nature to bring offering. Anything you do is an offering. So God made you. Hallelujah. If you are serving the devil smoking, it's an offering. If you are quarreling with your wife, it's an offering. If you are gossiping about your brother, it's an offering. Hallelujah. So we are speaking about the spiritual nature of it. And the spiritual basis of it. That God from the beginning designed to have sons. Even before anything called Old Testament. Even before anything called the New Testament. Even anything called ministry or church or fellowship. There is a vision higher than ministry. There is a vision higher than church. There is a vision higher than fellowship. I don't know if you are listening to me. You can form your fellowship from here to heaven and come back. It is not the will of God. What does God want? Fellowships, groups, churches. What does God want? God is looking for what? A son. I'm saying to you, there is a vision that is overriding beyond church and group and in the Old Testament. And what is that? That God wants a son. So if you don't have that vision of sonship, then you'll be working for a group. Say, this is my church. My church is the best. My church is not the best. And you're fighting. Say, this one is in my church. This one is not in my church. It means that you don't understand. And that is where many of us are missing it. Because we are fighting for church and fellowship and group. And that's why a young man comes He's in the church and he wants to go and start his own fellowship. So that means that right from the beginning he has missed it. And if we are here because of group and church, then we are not going to be of any use to the devil. God is not here about group or fellowship. Hallelujah. Those are called platforms. They are things that God will use to bring about his greater good. The thing in God's heart, he will not work for any man. He's working for himself. And he says, I will do it unto the pleasure, unto the good pleasure of his will. Do you understand? There is the good pleasure of God's will. And what is that good pleasure? That God wants a son. Now, I have to balance that. Do you know why? Somebody will leave here and say, they say there's no more church. There's no more fellowship. Hallelujah. Oh, God has given us liberty. No more fellowship or church. Amen. So I can stay in my house and I'm church. Is this so? You have to balance it. We want to see you. You must be in a fellowship. Hallelujah. You must be under authority. Hallelujah. You see, the Bible says, do not neglect the assembling of yourselves together. So you must rightly divide the word of God. Okay. So, God has a greater vision. And that vision is the vision of the sonship. Son. Now, the Son of God, is a two-part body. There are two parts in Son. So, and Brabot was touching on it yesterday. When you say sonship, there are two parts to sonship. And you know, this is something I have not yet understood. You know, and I always give the example. You know, when you fly, you enter, get into, you know, 30,000 feet above the ground. You don't see any human being. You don't see anybody. And I'm asking myself, I say, God, what is God? What is God saying? That me will be a joint heir with Christ. Now, that is what is not... that we don't understand. God is not interested in churches or in fellowships. God wants a joint heir. He wants a heir. He wants a son. And the Bible said that we shall be joint heir. Not just, if we are heir, that was even good. But not just that we are what? Joint heirs with Christ. If there's anybody sleeping around you, please wake them up. I've seen some people sleeping. Everybody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not a Pentecostal brother. I'm just telling you to do hallelujah. Say to your neighbor, God bless you. Say to your brother, God, your neighbor, God bless you. Hallelujah. This brother is not a Pentecostal man, no? But please say to your brother, God bless you. Hallelujah. We're doing it to wake ourselves up. Amen. Amen. Okay, good, good, good. What about the vision? Because many of us, the younger ones, even the older, we don't know what the vision is. The vision is not, I don't have money, God give me money. That's not why we're here. It's not that I don't have car, God give me a car. God, you can give me a car, but Brabot has been telling us about our condition. We are very, very poor. Now, blessing has come. It's not bad to be blessing, but we must be sons. We must be sons. Hallelujah. When God blesses you, you use it for the work of the kingdom. Hallelujah. If my salary increases, it is more work for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. It's not for my, not to, it is for the kingdom. Paul said, I will spend and be spent for the gospel. Hallelujah. So if it's increasing, then that means more resources for the kingdom. And God has blessed us. You know what? He's given us more ability for the kingdom. Brethren, we are talking about a radio station. We are talking about television. We are talking about a printing press. We are talking about, you know, anything that will help us preach this gospel. Hallelujah. We are talking about missions, medical missions. within and outside the country. Think big for the kingdom. Hallelujah. Get involved. Get involved. You know, that's by the side. Hallelujah. What about the vision? Christ. Christ is head and body. Now, some people said there is a fourth person in the Godhead. I'm not preaching it, though. I'm only saying that some people say. Amen. Brother Bot, I'm not preaching that there is a fourth person in the Godhead. I'm only saying some people say there is a fourth person in the Godhead. Hallelujah. You have God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Ghost. Is this so? But the Bible says that we are joint heirs with the Son, with the second person in the Godhead. We are joint heirs with Him. Hallelujah. I am not God, but God says I'm a joint heir. I accept what He has given me. Hallelujah. Say amen now. I'm not saying I am God. But the Bible says that he has taken us. Eh? We that we are not a people, He has taken us. He has lifted us up that we should be what? Joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. The inheritance you have is beyond ministry. I hope somebody is listening to me. It's beyond saying church. I'm going to form my church. This is not church, form church. We're talking about sonship. That we are called to be joint heirs with Christ. Now, this joint heir with Christ, this position of Christ, the devil also wanted it. I want you to understand. Yes. Now, if you are not important, the devil would have forgotten you a long time ago. He wouldn't waste time with you. But because we are important, He needs us. Hallelujah. If you guys look at Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14, I always mix up the two. Ezekiel 28, isn't it? And Isaiah 14. Good. Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. They talk about Christ and they talk about the devil and Zion. He said, I will arise. I will rise over the stars of God. I will rise over the mountain of God. I shall rule over them. I shall be like the Most High. I want you to understand that that is the beginning of the Genesis. The whole thing has to do with Christ. Who will be Christ? And God said that He had chosen us from the foundation of what? That we should be in Christ. And they will say, I want that position. Hallelujah. And that is the crux of the issue. And when we talk about apostolic vision, we're not talking about Africa is poor. God will come and bless Africa. That is beyond Africa is oppressed. God, come and deliver Africa. My village doesn't have a state. God, give my village to become a state in Nigeria. What's the other one? I don't have wife. God gave me. That cannot be an apostolic direction. And the question is, what one are you following? Are you pressing on to be a son? Because that is your inheritance. If God has given you that inheritance, you are like the prodigal son, you see, or like Isaac was sharing, you bring that promise and you sow it to your flesh. You begin to enjoy. Use the blessings that God has given to you to project yourself, to do so and so, then you mean that you are like the prodigal son. You are wasting God's resources. Because whatever God has given to you is so that you can be part of Christ. Now listen to Paul. Paul said, all things that were gained unto me. What was it? He said he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, of the tribe of Benjamin, the first tribe that produced a king in Israel. He was taught by the best in it. I mean, he said, everything that was given to me, what? I have counted dung. That I may win Christ. He wanted to be part of that body. We cannot be the head, because there is only one head. And that head is Jesus Christ. And anywhere Jesus Christ is manifested, anywhere Christ is manifested, Jesus must be there, physically or spiritually. So for someone to say that Jesus is not coming in the flesh, it is the voice of the devil. Because the devil wants that position. He doesn't want Jesus to come. The Bible says that the Mary brought forth her firstborn child, and he called his name Jesus, the Christ. Do you understand? Jesus identifies the body. So people are still sleeping. Please wake up those who are sleeping. Hallelujah. Bible said that he raised up Jesus, who is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ. Hallelujah. It's like when you see me, if I'm headless, you will run away. Is it not so? Say amen now. If you see me without your head, you will run away. Say, this one is a monster. Hallelujah. And there are many people, many bodies, many congregations, many assemblies, many manifestations in the earth today that don't have a head. Run away from them. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus gives character to the body. Without Jesus, there can be no character. Hallelujah. So anybody that is telling you any story, ask yourself, is Jesus the center? Hallelujah. He says the lamb will follow the Lord. You know, the body, the bride will follow the lamb. Whithersoever he is going. Are you following Jesus? And if you are following Jesus, you must go to the cross. You must believe in the resurrection of the body, in the resurrection of the soul, and the resurrection of the spirit. That's what Acts chapter 2 says. That according to the resurrection of Christ, which is that thou will not leave my soul in hell, or suffer my body to see corruption. That is the resurrection of Christ. And the brother was talking about it. The resurrection of Christ says that the spirit and the soul must be resurrected. So if the head was resurrected fully, the body must also be resurrected fully. That's when we must experience a resurrection in our spirit, a resurrection in our body, and a resurrection of our in our soul and in our body. And in the order of God, Bible says every man in his own order. And God's order of resurrection is that the spirit will come first. And as my brother says, it is instantaneous. You are quickened by the blood. When you receive the blood, your spirit is quickened. Hallelujah. I'll come back to that. But the resurrection of the soul is a gradual process. But there is a time limit when you must stop. And that time is almost coming to an end, brethren. I want you to understand. There is a time limit for the soul to come into resurrection. And when that has happened, the body also will be resurrected. Hallelujah. So what you are seeing, the body you are seeing now, is a body that is in hope. My body is dwelling in hope. Paul said that all creation groaneth. Eh? Groaneth, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. So hypertension will not be forever. Cancer will not be forever. In fact, you can even walk into that experience now. Hallelujah. It's yet coming, but you can tell God, speak to the thing now, say, you must go. He said, will I go before time? He said, yes, you are going before time. So yes, they are claiming that the time has not yet come because the body has not yet come into resurrection. The time has not come. But you see, you can live ahead of your time. He said, I wish that thou mayest prosper and be in health as thy soul prospereth. Hallelujah. So we are following an apostolic vision. And that vision is the salvation of the soul. Because the spirit has been saved. The saving of the spirit is sealed with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's why you are sealed unto salvation. Don't you understand? The spirit is quickened by the blood. And then when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the salvation of the Spirit is sealed. Hallelujah. Remaining the body. Remaining the soul. And the body is warming up, waiting. Say, all creation is crying, waiting, groaning, that they too might be adopted unto the sonship. That is our vision, brethren. Hallelujah. God wants a body. God wants a body. And to make it very clear, he has given you a body. Look at your body. Then you understand how the body should function. Hallelujah. Look at your body. You will understand how the body is meant to function. And he even sent Jesus Christ into our midst. That's why Jesus came, as a pattern. He walks among us. Everything you are doing, Jesus did, as an example. Now, who was Jesus Christ? Who was Jesus Christ? The Bible says there is a first Adam and the second Adam. I want you to understand that God did not make you to eat eba and loiloi and conflicts and eat carrots. God did not make you to be doing what you are doing now. And don't limit yourself to what you see around. The Bible says the first Adam is a living soul. But the second Adam is a life, it's a spiritual man, it's a Lord from heaven, it's a spiritual man. And when Jesus was in the fullness of his glory, that is, when he had resurrected, because God had to show the example, he didn't need to eat physical food, but he could eat it if he wanted. I want to tell you, and brethren, we ought to believe that we should be groaning and expecting that. The condition of our life now is temporary. We should be a people we should be growing out of the physical things that we are involved in into a spiritual condition. So Jesus was brought as a pattern of a fully redeemed man. He was with the Father and yet he was on earth. And he did the will of God. He did everything his Father wanted him to do. Now, that is to just talk about Christ. Now, I must go on to the second aspect of what I want to say. Now, when Brother Sex came to Nigeria, now, this vision of Christ, he brought it down to us. He applied it to us as a people. Yes, we are called to be Christ, but there are certain things that are peculiar. I don't know if you understand the word peculiar. There are certain things no, that's a big word. That was a big word now. Certain things that you find that are special about Nigerians. When you see a Nigerian, these are the things that you see. The things that make him who he is. And it's common all over the place. You find it everywhere. And he said about three things, that Nigerian Christians must overcome. And the first time Brother Bud ministered, he was dealing with the Nigerian spirit. Yesterday, he went back again, and he began to deal with the Nigerian spirit. Now, some of the younger people were not there in 1986, when Brother Sells began to talk about this Nigerian spirit. And some of you don't even know that there's anything called Nigerian spirit. But today you know. Say amen now. Okay, the amen is not loud enough. Say amen. Whether you say amen or not, you know. And you must overcome. That's how you are going to be measured. Now, what is the thing about the Nigerian spirit? There are three things, not many. So you can't forget. You can get your Bible and write. One, he said, we must overcome pride. The Nigerian is proud. In South Africa, when you want to know a Nigerian, you look at black people walking on the road and you see a white man coming, the man that doesn't go out of the road is a Nigerian. Because he's not afraid. That is, he's very proud. He's so self-assured. When you go to Nairobi Airport, you don't need to know who is a Nigerian. Because when you start hearing, hey, bo, you know that is the Nigerian section. Very loud, very assertive, very disorderly, crooked, aggressive, whatever. Dishonest. People should talk now. Before you make the law, they have devised a way to break the law. He said nobody should sell pure water. They will devise a way to sell the pure water without you knowing. So that is the Nigerian, proud. But it's also good. It's a good thing. In a sense, yes. God is going to use it. And God is using it in a way. But it has to be redeemed first before God can use it. Hallelujah. So he said, the Nigerian is proud. Proud. Self-assured. Now, that pride is part of self. It's an expression of self. Now, we know self is bad, isn't it so? In every country, you see self. God showed me a picture of the soul. He showed me a picture of the soul. I don't see visions like Isaac. But I see something in my spirit. And he showed me a picture. You know, the will of man is fixed against God. That's what I saw. Within the soul of man, there are four natures, four personalities, four realms of the spirit. And the scripture for that is Ezekiel 1. You see it in operation. Ezekiel 1, 3, 10. And the whole book of Ezekiel tells you the operation of the soul of man. There are four natures. And the will is fixed to function as a God. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Your will. Let me talk about you. My will is fixed and convinced in deception to regard myself as God. So this thing you're looking at is a kingdom ruled by self. There is a God. You say he as God sitting in the temple, showing himself as God, receiving worship and declaring that he is God to every man. Self is riding high in this body. Now, see, this is the doctrine. This is the vision. Now, if you like, I do crusade from here to Aba and come back. If that crusade is not addressing that will that says I am God, you have no use to God. Do you know why? Because that same will must be submitted and say, God, I now believe that you are the God. And it is not a very small, it's not an easy task. It's not an easy task. Self is alive and well within the church. Now, but you see, God has a solution for the problem of the soul. What is the solution? The message about the tabernacle. God gave us a solution. Because in the tabernacle, we see that God has made the provision for self to be crucified. And you find that in the second sanctuary, that is in the holy place. In the holy place, there is an altar. That altar is the soul. And in that altar, there are four horns. And all the horns are bent. He's showing that the self in the four dimensions of you have been broken. So, the Bible says, a broken and a contrite heart, oh God, thou wilt not despise. There is only one sacrifice that God can never refuse. There's only one sacrifice. What is that sacrifice called?
Brokenness.
Brokenness is when the will is broken. The emotions are broken. Your desires are broken. And your mind is broken to submit to God. The Bible said that the mind is high-minded. So bringing every captivity and every thought and everything that is contrary to the will of God in subjection. And there is only one thing, there's only one person that is able to do that, and that is Christ. And that is why the ministry of the Old Testament cannot help us. The ministry of let me study the Bible and come and preach will not do. It has to be a ministry of the Spirit. Because the Bible says, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. It is the Spirit of Christ that can crucify the flesh. I feel a lot of distraction. Hallelujah. Can you get the children to sit down? Hallelujah. Amen. There is a provision to deal with the soul. And it is the message of the tabernacle. Now, I've heard some people say, no, this tabernacle, you are preaching it too much. It's Old Testament. You say, we don't need the seal and tabernacle. Let's preach Christ. Somebody say he wants to preach Christ. Yeah, he doesn't want to hear about the tabernacle. Hallelujah. Is it possible? Because the picture of the tabernacle is what shows us Christ. Hallelujah. And many of you looking at me here, you don't know what the tabernacle is about. The young ones, you don't know it. So how are you going to be of any use to God? Don't you see? You must go back and study it. So right now, there are different books on the tabernacle. And we need to teach it. In the fellowships, we need to go back and start teaching the tabernacle. Because that is what is going to bring the soul to the point of brokenness and submission. In the tabernacle, all the pictures are there. In the tabernacle, we see that I am one of the weakest brothers in the body. You know this brother, I'm one of the weakest. Because the Bible, in the tabernacle shows it. He said there were bars and there were boards. Is it so? The bars, there were five bars. Two, one up, one down, one. And then there was a middle one that ran across. And each of those bars were held in place by rings that are attached to the boards. If the boards are not holding the ministry is on the ground. Hallelujah. No, amen. Hallelujah. Who is it that wants to be an apostle? Can I see other apostle aspirants? You are aspiring to be an apostle. Hallelujah. Okay, brother, you're on the ground. Thank God there are honest brothers who want to be apostles. You're on the ground. If the body doesn't hold you, you're on the ground. You cannot stand. So it says, I will set in the body apostles and the ministries are set so that the body holds them. Hallelujah. So the ministry cannot be above the body. I hope you listen to me. I am not above you. Hallelujah. I am one of your fellow servants that have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm just a servant. I cannot be a Lord. Amen. But there are some who say they are Lords. And you are following them. Hallelujah. Repent. Lose.
Amen.
You're not saying amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The ministry cannot be above the body. The ministry is in the midst of the body as a servant. Hallelujah. So these are all the things that he has made for us. So of us here are called to be ministers. Yes, it's good. If a man desires to be a servant, it's a good thing. But don't desire a high office. To be a minister says, he that will be chief among you will do what? Will be servant. A minister means a doulos, a servant. Somebody that washes toilets, that cleans your house, hallelujah, that runs errand for you, not a big man. But you see, Nigerians like to be big men. Do you understand? So this prophetic word is against the Nigerian nature. Hallelujah. So there is a movement in the end time church to quench this word. We don't want to hear it. To discourage you for anything called tabernacle. That Nigerian spirit doesn't want to hear it. But we will preach it. Hallelujah. The Nigerian spirit must be put down. Hallelujah. In the body of Christ, in fact, that brings us to the second point. So we don't waste too much time. Now, the second point is divisions. First one is pride and self. The second one is divisions. If you look at Isaiah 18, it says there is a nation whose land the rivers have spoiled. And yesterday, my brother was talking about it. You know, Lukoja, you go there. You know, the Benue and the Niger, isn't it so? They divided the country. And you come to the Delta. It says, it is a people spoiled, crooked from their beginning. Isaiah 18, is it up? Put it. You see, a people crooked from their beginning. Hallelujah. But God says a present will be brought at the end time. Hallelujah. Amen. It's now. God is expecting a present, an offering from these crooked people. Hallelujah. So what are we saying? The spirit of division is one of the major spirits we have to overcome. Hallelujah. How many tribes are there in Nigeria now? Who knows? Who are the linguistic people? How many? No, they say it's up to 450 now. Yes? More tribes have been discovered. 450 ethnic nationalities in one country. Let's clap for ourselves. Is there any country so divided? Any country so divided? Hallelujah. The spirit of division is a major spirit. And it was between husband and wife. Say amen now. Okay, we'll choose amen, this one. But even between husband and wife, even within an individual, his division is still working within him, against himself. Because there are people who are not at peace with themselves. You look at the man is not at peace within himself. Hallelujah. How much more even within his own house? So in our dealings with one another, we must know that the spirit of division is there, is working all the time. I greet you, good morning. You say, why is he greeting me good morning? Maybe he wants to be laughing at me. Maybe because of what I did yesterday. Am I really sure of what he's saying? But the brother is telling you good morning. Hallelujah. That's what I mean. Am I saying something that is wrong? What's the problem? Okay. The spirit of divisions. We must overcome divisions. I'm not hearing amen. You must overcome divisions. Hallelujah. The spirit of divisions. Somebody said we should divide the country, not as south. I see the problem. Just that you will end up in my village. Because in my village you have Umuobu. Uhu something something something. Uhu, sorry, your brother said Uhu means compound. So in every village there is compound. And every compound is a nation unto itself. Because every compound has a chief, isn't it also? Then the chiefs come together. And when they are talking, everyone is fighting for their own compound. And even inside the compound, there are sub-chiefs. And every sub-chief is also fighting for his own, we'll call it Useku in my own place. That means my own pot, that's my own kitchen. So even within each compound, there is there is those who are from one mother, they say they are from one kitchen. Within the compound, they They fight separately. Then even within that kitchen, there are different mothers. People should talk now. There are different mothers. So you have the father, then you have seven women. Every night the woman will call, they say, see that one? He wants to kill you. Don't go there, eat. So in the night, each woman is poisoning the mind of his children against the other ones. Is that true?
Yes.
That is Nigeria. So how do you think that when we come together, it will not come up? And we are protesting that we are saying it doesn't exist, brother. It is alive and well and kicking when we come together. He said, that's a Yoruba brother. He said, Brasa, Yoruba. He said, we're not here for Yoruba. Go back to Lagos and do your Yoruba there. Here is Igbo. Here we are Ijaw people. That we are producing all the oil in Nigeria. Eh? They are taking all the oil and build Abuja. And we go to Abuja. It's so fine. Look at Port Harcourt. You are walking by another spirit. Repent. I didn't get any amen.
Amen.
Repent. Christian and Muslim is a spirit of division. And I ask you, the Muslim man, is he a devil? He doesn't, he's in deception. Why must you kill him? Why must you kill the Muslim man? You pray, God, kill all the Muslims. God will not answer that prayer. Jesus also died for the Muslims. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
If we are going to deal with civil war, that is the beginning. Civil war will stop in this room. Because the civil war is already on in this room. We are fighting against the Muslims in our hearts. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
Why are they killing you? Forgive your enemies. Pray for your enemies. Is that in the Bible?
Yes.
If your enemy is thirsty, what do you do? Give him koboko. Give him cold water. How many of us are giving cold water in prayer? Say, no, divide this country. We are not meant to be one. Christians, Holy Ghost filled. And the brother says, we are creative. Your word is creative. So civil war will be ended in this room. And we must have to sort it out today. Are we going to end the war here? If we end it here, it will end outside, I'm telling you. Hallelujah. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, will submit to the word of God, and say, God, we have sinned. Heal our land. God will heal it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Healing is just around the corner. It's looking for who will open the door and it will come in. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let me tell you, Bible says blood defines the land. Blood calls for revenge. They kill my brother. No problem. You kill him. The other one say, you kill my brother, he kills you. You kill my sister, he kills you. What's happening? The devil wants life. He is getting blood. And you are there, the minister of the devil. Hallelujah. When I went to Israel, I saw the driver of the taxi was an Arab boy. I said, why are you fighting against the Jews? Say, kill my brother. But I said, yes, from the same father. Why can't you do in peace? Say, I cannot. He killed my brother. I must kill him back. And that's all they know. They are living to revenge. To revenge is gives them life. They feed on wickedness. And Christians here too are feeding on it. When you say kill the Muslim, you get life. Don't you get life? Okay, don't want to answer me. Kill the Muslim, you feel good. You are feeding from it. Hallelujah. We need to rise. I'm not even talking about our brother, but you know, your brother, you think of your brother and your mind goes bad about your brother. That you think of your brother, your Christian brother, because you're from another fellowship, your mind goes bad. You're a murderer. I am a murderer. I'm shedding blood in my heart. And that altar is being defiled. Say amen now.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brethren, the war must stop. I didn't get any amen. You say, when my brother repents, it will stop. Is it so? When my brother repents, then the war will stop. Hallelujah. The war stops when I repent. You see, someone stand up, search me, O God. We are just singing religious songs. Search me, O God, and you are pointing at that brother. But that brother needs to. There's a spirit in him. He needs to repent. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Say amen now.
Amen.
Brother, go say amen. Hallelujah. God told us we must repent. Brethren, we must repent. Hallelujah. When we think of one another, it should be sweetness. And if it is not sweetness, then get down. Say, God, I have a problem. Me, I don't have a problem. Because there are some people I think, my mind is not very good. Did you hear me? Okay, did you hear? I'm saying there are some people I think, my heart, I don't feel good. I say, oh God, have mercy on your son. Hallelujah. It happens to me. I'm still struggling. I say, God, I must deal with it. Hallelujah. I'm hoping that after this meeting, that somebody will get deliverance. Do you know how you get deliverance? You go to your brother, say, brother, I've been feeling bad about you. Please pray for me for feeling bad against you. He's not saying you slapped me, you didn't slap me. Those are not the issues. The issue is that there is something happening here, and it shouldn't be. And you say, God, you go to your brother, please pray for me. Release me. Hallelujah. And he will release you. That's how the healing will come. Hallelujah. And when this church rises up, I will say, God, there will not be any civil war in Nigeria. It will be done. We will say, God, this man will not be president over this country. Before we even say it is done.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Because our offering is coming up higher. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Say amen now.
Yes.
Hallelujah. When there's a disagreement against among brethren, you must go down and pray. When there's a disagreement, in family, the husband and wife must get down. The wife must pray. Say, God, heal my marriage. Say amen now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So God saying, there is a provision that God has made to deal with divisions. Do you know that? Do you know the provision? It's the word about the body ministry. Body ministry. God is raising the bodies. And he has given us that word about the body. And you have a body. If you look inward, you'll be able to deal with it. Now, what's the third one, the last one? The last one is what? Blood, covenants, ancestral, covenants, traditions. Those are the three things. Pride, divisions, blood, covenants. Now, the provision to deal with blood covenant is the word about priesthood, traditions, and the word against Babylon. God said, come out of Babylon. Come out of Babylon. And the Babylon begins from the pattern showed. He told Abraham, you must come out from your family. So there are familiar spirits. There are familiar spirits. And in the families, some of the families worship a python. In my wife's village, the village where she comes from, because she's not from that village again. We were in the house one day, and there was commotion in the house. Do you know why? One big man was moving around. Do you know the big man? There was a python that was crawling around. He was visiting it. He was moving around his kingdom. I see how they are doing. And everybody was running from it. Some people were even giving worship, throwing things at it. They were singing for it. And it was gliding. Hallelujah. Okay, she said, loose. It's real alive. Hallelujah. It's real alive. You know, there's something I saw in scripture. I found out that the same word used for the soul of man is the same Hebrew word used for the soul of animals. How many people know that? Nefesh. Nefesh. It says, and the sea brought forth nefesh. Don't be annoyed though. I'm begging you, don't be annoyed. See me, I'm a fine brother. I love you, and you love me. The difference between you and the ordinary animal is just one thing. Just one thing. Spirit. That you have a spirit. That's the only difference. Now, what the devil has done, and what if you are not able to deal with it, forget it. It doesn't matter whether your face is blue or green, or you look pretty, or you look ugly. All those things are of no consequence. If your spirit is not made alive, and if your spirit is not connected to God, you are as good as a beast. I take it again. I wish I had the ball, I would have drawn it. You have the body, you have the soul. The dog has body and soul. Adam has something different, a third one, spirit. When Adam died, when Adam sinned, his spirit became dead. His spirit was knocked off. Now, God told me, every soul must be ruled by another spirit, by a higher spirit. Either the spirit of Christ or the spirit of the Antichrist. So the devil, he was perfect plan. So he knocked off the soul of the spirit of man so that man couldn't relate with God again. So he completely closed that door. What do you think happened? He came in and overshadowed the soul of man. He became the Baal, the Lord, the life giver. So if people are not worshiping him, Christmas. As the Bible says, Dei natalis vivente solis. The day of the birth of the unconquerable son. He is the son. The devil is the son. He gives life to all creation. Very soon now, everything has died. Winter, no life. Very soon, spring will come. And they'll begin to worship him in Easter and all those things. The whole thing is so dumb. The world is organized in a government. And he is the God of this world. If you don't know, you are in a hostile environment. Your own is finished. This world doesn't like you. It belongs to a God. His name is Satan. You are in his kingdom. And your soul is what he wants. And he already has it. The soul of man is born into hell. It says you will not suffer my soul to what? The soul of man is born in hell, in iniquity. This world is a realm of hell. And God has given the devil authority. He says, thus thou art. And thus thou will remain. God put a veil. This whole thing is under a veil. Hallelujah. But there's good news. God came in the form of a man. He smuggled himself into blood. Hallelujah. It's okay now, we shall see. Hallelujah. And he broke that power. And he has made available his blood. So when you receive his blood, you receive his life. The spirit is quickened again. Hallelujah. But it's not going to stop there. The soul is must be delivered. Those four living creatures must also receive the life of God. And that is the business of church. The business of church is to save the soul. Deliver the soul from this bondage of corruption. That is the ministry. To deliver. Hallelujah. But the devil has taken over preaching. He now has church. He's now a minister of light. He's now an apostle. He has written his own Bible. He has written his own books. He has his own ministry. He is going on foreign missions. He's going on local missions. Everything you are doing, he is doing. He has his church self. Hallelujah. He is giving prosperity. He gives children. He gives husband. Anything you want, the devil has. Hallelujah. He has become an angel of light. But the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knows those that belong to him. Someone say, how can I know? You will know. The Bible says you will know of his doctrine if you will do his will. If you desire to be delivered, God will come to you. There's a man called Cornelius, a Roman man. He was crying for God. God sent Peter. He knocked on his door. He said, God sent me to you. Hallelujah. If you want deliverance, God will deliver you. So, brethren, there are traditions. And in our local traditions, we see cats, dogs. We went to Gamba. Where is it? In Gamba, it is the elephants, you know so. These brethren, they sleep. All they see is elephants. They're here. So there, the spirit is represented by the elephant. In some other places, the spirit is represented by ago, isn't it so? Lion. Different communities have. In other places, it is akaso. Or fish. Or crocodile. Or python. Hallelujah. In some communities, men incarnate themselves in trees. In dogs, dog is moving around. You kick the dog, someone comes to you and say, my friend, you kicked me yesterday night. Is it not so? You know, this is real life. Hallelujah. And you say you will not overcome. You have no use to God. You can sing and wave your hand. You do not count in God's economy. Hallelujah. God is looking for a church that will bring it down. That will overcome it. And you, as an individual, you must decide where you stand. No sitting on the fence. Because sitting on the fence is a decision. Hallelujah. The Bible says, curse ye mirrors. Because it did not help the Lord in the day of battle. So if this is the day of battle and you say, well, I just want to save myself and just stay in the middle. Anyone that wins, I go to his side. You have rejected the Lord. And Joshua said, I and my household, we will serve the Lord. And yesterday, God brought us back again. And he said, look, this vision, this is where I started with you. And I'm going back there again. And brethren, that's where we are here. Every individual, every fellowship, every group, you must decide what you will do with this vision. You cannot say you don't know. You know. Husband, you must teach your children. You must order your house. You must order this house according to this vision. Hallelujah. When it's time to marry, say, in my church, we know the cut cake. It's not in my church, we know the cut cake. What do you believe? Huh? You say, in my church, the elder said we shouldn't wear a wedding gown. And in your heart, you are wearing the wedding gown. Who are you deceiving? You want to be like Lady Diana. The wedding gown is from here, and there are four people. In fact, how many people are carrying they are carrying it and follow her? Here comes the bride. Here comes the bride. Comes the bride. Comes the bride. Here comes the bride. And you are abusing all the brothers in your heart. These stupid brothers. Why can't they allow us to just enjoy ourselves? Well, you will not enjoy yourself. Because God has given us a commission to destroy the strongholds. I didn't hear any amen. Okay, we shall see. The amen will be tested on the day of marriage. Will be tested on the day of burial. Hallelujah. When they say, yeah, go and get married to your dead mother before you can bury her. Before you, if your father dies, you must bring wine to inform the elders that your father is dead. My father is dead. I will also go and buy wine to give you. All right, no problem. I told you, I said, look, now listen. My father is there. I want to bury him. If you don't want, the Bible says, let the dead bury the dead. Say, hard God. Yes, it's hard. It's hard. Narrow is the way that leads to life. If you be my disciple, he didn't say you must. If, choice. If any man will be my disciple, he must hate his father. Hate, not deny, hate his mother. Hate his everything. And himself also. So said Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is the standard. So when you look at it and you are weighed it, you say, I will follow this same Jesus. Then you are ready. He's not looking for people. In fact, he said, Paul, will you also go? And that's the question he's asking us. Will you also go? Many have gone. But he looked in through that narrow thing. And he saw many bones. This road is littered with bones, I'm telling you. This road is littered with bones. In the days of Pietin, we were many. In the early days of Bradusia, this hall, it was not enough. He reached the other fence. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, it has thinned down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God is saying, will you also go away? When Brasses came, he saw a mangrove. He saw a giant in the mangrove. And he was fighting with the giant. You know what happened? The Nigerian brethren ran away. And they began to dig his grave. When they looked and the man had killed the giant, they started crawling out one by one. Hallelujah. Don't let any man deceive you. There's nothing called the Nigerian end time church. There's nothing called the American end time church. God has only one church. And it is his bride. And that bride must not have been defied by another spirit. Whether it's the Nigerian spirit or the American spirit, that bride cannot be defiled. Hallelujah. God said, come out of your nation. God is not here to save Nigeria. Somebody said, did God make Nigeria? But God will use Nigeria. God will use America. If God says the thing called Nigeria has come to an end, there's nothing you can do about it. But let him say that. So we are going to pray. We're not saying, God, don't divide the country or divide it. That's not our business. Our business is that there shall be no civil war in this land. That is our common ground. Are we agreed on that?
Yes.
There shall be no war in this country. Why wouldn't there be any war? I'll tell you why. The devil wants to destabilize us. That's what he wants. He wants to deceive. You know, the thing that God is doing, he wants to raise confusion so that he will scatter it. That's why we say there shall be no war.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He said, pray that there will be peace.
Yes.
Isn't also? So that you can preach the gospel. Well, not say there should be peace so that Nigeria will remain. Because I know, according to Genesis 10, that God did not make any country. He didn't even make America. Well, he is using it. But we must rightly discern what God is saying. So, God is not raising national churches or tribal churches. He said, this is the church for the people from Etem. Umuahia brethren. Well, thank God for Umuahia brethren. Or Port Harcourt brethren. Hallelujah. God is not building an entity called Port Harcourt brethren. He has only one entity. That is Christ. The body of Christ. So, wherever you find yourself, your vision must be what? Christ. Hallelujah. All of us can be under one roof. Is it so? Say amen now. The amen is not strong. Say amen. Okay, still not strong. Okay, all of us should be under one roof. Hallelujah. The Bible says, other sheep have I that are not of this fold. Hallelujah. Them will I also bring. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. Hallelujah. So we are rounding up. And I hope you have understood the vision. You understand it if you're able to teach others. So this is the trainers workshop. We are training trainers. So when you go and train other people. Go and tell them the vision. Hallelujah. Amen. That God has a vision for the church in this land. That there is an apostolic vision. And that's what we are walking by. Hallelujah. Amen. So when you start hearing on television, God will bless you. God will bless you. You just keep that one aside. You know that that is not what God is saying. God says you must overcome pride. You must overcome divisions. You must overcome the blood and the ancestral covenants. Now, when you have overcome, do you know how you know you have overcome? When you're able to submit one to another. Hallelujah. When you're able to submit. Husband is submitted to wife. Wife is submitted to husband. Hallelujah. It says that when the Lord restores Zion, the watchmen will what? See eye to eye. Hallelujah. The ministries begin to come together. They dovetail. Hallelujah. You are coming from somewhere. I'm coming from somewhere. Because we have the same spirit. We hear the same thing. Hallelujah. If God gives you a word, if I'm in the spirit, I will hear that word. If we gather together as a people, if God speaks a word and a brother hears it, other brothers will also hear it. Hallelujah. They will say, yeah, that's what God, in fact, yesterday night by 3 o'clock, God woke me up and he was telling me. The other one heard it by 7. Hallelujah. That's the word of God. So it's so easy. Because nobody is trying to raise himself up. Hallelujah. So we have been encouraged, brethren, to rise. To be part of this army. It's a great army and it cannot lose. It's a disciplined army. He's training every one of us to be part of this great army of the Lord. Hallelujah. And then we need to go back and look at this word again, chew on it, apply it in our lives, and ask questions. Ask questions. If it's not clear, ask questions, and then we'll be able to explain it. Praise the Lord.